For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's good, y'all? Welcome back to Believe in the Mommy Heat, brought to you by the Believe Network. As always, I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. Now, to answer the question that I proposed at the beginning of this podcast, which was, what's good? The answer is not the Miami Heat, as they've now dropped two straight games for the first time since mid-January, as they lost by like 7 points to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I'm recording this video at 3 a.m., actually 3:18 to be exact. And if you're on the YouTube side here, you could see I got this Guitar Hero guitar next to me. Yes, I know that's random. You probably didn't expect me to hold this up, but that's because I just got done streaming on the Basement Sports Network Gaming Twitch. Yes, they do have a gaming channel. So go check that out if y'all want to see me play Guitar Hero. But I brought that up as if to say I've had quite some time to calm down, because once the game ended, as always, I posted an instant reaction video on the YouTube, and I did take that audio and put that on the podcast side as well. And I was very angry because that was two games in a row for the Heat, you know, versus the Mavericks and now the Thunder, in which it was very, very similar results. And the game played out in a very, very similar way, in which the Miami Heat had a very strong first half, and then the second half was terrible. They fell apart completely. Bam Adebayo's struggles continued, and I was very frustrated. And I uploaded that video, and I put the audio on the podcast side for my audio only listeners as well. And on the YouTube side, at least, I got a lot of comments. People were agreeing with me. People were very frustrated. And if you haven't heard that video, I basically started it by saying that I was reacting to a comment that I got on the previous video versus the Mavericks, where someone said that I'm too passionate, and that's just because they lost the game, I'm acting like you should stop watching the Miami Heat. I don't know where that person got that thought from. I never said that. If you're a fan of a team, you should watch every game. And truthfully, it's nice to be angry about games, because I remember the days of Willie Reed and Luke Babbitt and Rodney Magruder. Although I liked those guys, those Heat teams sucked, right? And when you lost games, you really didn't care because you expected to lose. So it's kind of nice having a team with, yeah, I'll say it, championship expectations, because when you do lose regular season games, it's frustrating because you feel like you actually got some stakes on the line going into this playoff push. So it's nice being able to lose games. And I also want to say to that comment, one, what do you want me to do? You want me to sit here after every game and sit here every week on this podcast and say, oh, don't worry about what we saw the past week. It's only game 1 of 82. It's only game 50. It's only game 60. Let's wait to the playoffs. What kind of podcast would this be? What kind of YouTube channel would I have if after every game I said the same thing and let's wait and see? No, it don't work like that. Like, I am a content creator. I react to the games. Is it a bit of an overreaction sometimes? Sure. But at the same time, I don't really like to call it that, because that's genuinely how I felt after the game. And yeah, I'm passionate. Is that a crime? If you're a Heat fan and you don't at least get a little bit of annoyed after these losses, can you really call yourself a Heat fan? Now, I'm not saying you got to sit there and throw around and start, throw a tantrum and chuck your remote at the wall, punch a hole in the wall and all do all that sort of stuff. No, it's kind of pointless and stupid to get like that. But it's okay to be upset when your team plays bad. It's okay to be frustrated with Bam and Abao after having two god-awful games in a row. When I was on, to finish my earlier thought, I guess, I posted that video, and then I went on to the Basement Sports Network post-game show. We live-streamed over there, and on that show, I actually said Bam was her awful tonight. Had to come up with my own word because he's playing, like, so terrible I never even seen before. You see, I can't even have my words because how terrible Bam was in that third quarter tonight was just ungodly bad. I mean, he was missing layups, fading away over 120-pound Chet Holmgren instead of trying to back him down, be aggressive, get to the basket. He was getting out-rebounded by Lu Dort, wasn't boxing out, was passing the ball out of bounds to nobody. He was seeing ghosts, as Sam Darnold would say back in the day. But it was frustrating. But anyways, posted the video, did the Basement post game, and then I played Guitar Hero for like 2 hours, streamed over on the Basement Twitch. And now I've calmed down a little bit where I felt like it was a good time to get out this podcast at the mere hour of 3:22 a.m. now on technically on Saturday. So that's kind of why I want to get this out and just talk about a few things and the current state of the Heat after two really tough games. Now, on the week as a whole, they finished 1-2. They beat the Pistons, in which was a close game. And at the time, I said, I don't care if you won by one or you won by two. It's all the same to me because there's professionals on the other side and you're not going to blow out other teams, right? So I didn't care that they were in a dogfight with the Pistons because a win is a win and it's hard to win in this league. But that being said, I knew you had two really tough matchups coming up versus the Mavericks and versus the Thunder, and I knew those were really true measuring stick games after beating up on some pretty bad teams. Which is what the Miami Heat were doing previously. Let me pull the schedule back up here. So before the Miami Heat beat the Pistons, they beat the Jazz, and then they lost to Denver, good team, and then they beat Portland, and then they did beat a couple of nice teams in Sacramento and New Orleans, but those aren't great teams. So when they played Denver, I wanted to get that one. They couldn't do it. When they played Dallas with Luka and Kyrie, I wanted to get that one. Same with OKC, number one in the West. I wanted to get that. Those are true measuring stick games. And to just drop them all and have your star players in particular play very bad in all those games. Jimmy and Bam were not good in Denver, particularly Jimmy. Jimmy and Bam were terrible yesterday versus the Mavericks. Jimmy and Bam were, Jimmy was okay versus Thunder 2010, but he wasn't the Jim VP that we've been seeing. And obviously Bam and Abad was just pretty terrible. So it's just discouraging when you lose these measuring stick games, you know, because I've sat here all year and I've been realistic, but I've also said, I think this team can compete for a championship. I think they are better last year, especially when you look at the additions of Terry Rozier and Patty Mills. The boy had his debut today. We'll get into him a little bit later. And DeLon Wright and even Jaime Jaquez, who's just having an incredible week. I think they're better than they were last year. And that would lead me to believe they can win the championship. But it's games like this where they look this bad. It's like, can they really? So that's something that I kind of want to get into. I guess I'll start with this. Is the size issue for the Heat. I think that is the biggest glaring issue for the Heat, right? And the question I have for y'all is, can the Miami Heat truly be a championship contender with this such great lack of size that they have? I mean, we saw tonight versus the Mavericks that Nikola Jovic played like 30 minutes, right? Most minutes he's played in quite some time. Probably most minutes he's played, you know, in a game where everyone was healthy, right? And he was playing well, you know, finished with like 8-7 or something, did his thing where he gets the rebound, runs the offense, you know, only shot like 2 of 5 or so, but he was fine, right? And I think that's, you know, a reason that he played more minutes because he played well. But on top of that, I think it's just because Spo didn't trust Thomas Bryant or Orlando Robinson. And obviously Kevin Love has been out, so he's usually the backup center. But without him, Spo had no choice but to play Nikola Jovic at backup center because that's how little he trusts Thomas Bryant and Orlando Robinson. Now, I do want to say Heat fans are treating those two guys like they're Dwayne Dedman and Cody Zeller. I think they're way better than those two guys. I thought that Zeller and Dedman were literally unplayable. Now, I know the numbers with Thomas Bryant would say the same thing, but just when I'm watching him out there, I do feel like in small spurts, he's fine. I feel like he does hustle hard, gets a couple putback dunks, can help get in there with the big boys and get some rebounds. Now, defensively, he is pretty terrible. He's very slow-footed, bricked a couple threes in the game versus the Mavericks. And Orlando Robinson, same thing, you know, very slow-footed. But I feel like when he comes in, he's a guy that could roll to the basket and finish. I feel like he's a guy that could get in there amongst the trees and get some rebounds. So I think they're fine. But point is, when you're talking about, you know, your backup true bigs, because Kevin Love is backup center, but he's not a big. He's like 6'8". Very good rebounder, though. But when your backup bigs are Thomas Bryant and Orlando Robinson, you don't have backup bigs. You see what I'm saying? And that lack of size is what is going to be a killer for this team. Because, of course, the Heat got dominated on the boards versus the Denver Nuggets. They got Nikola Jovic. What are you going to do? Best player in the game. Nobody can really do anything with him. And then you play the Dallas Mavericks, and that team killed you on the glass. Between Derek Lively and newly acquired Daniel Gafford, a guy that I really would have loved on the Heat. True seven-footer, excellent rebounder and lob threat. The Mavericks traded a first-round pick for him. If you're the Heat, would I rather have Terry Rozier or Daniel Gafford? I don't know. Probably Daniel Gafford, though, just because I don't like to fit with Tyler and Terry anyways. And theoretically, when Tyler comes back, I don't know how well he'll fit with Terry Rozier, although Terry's played great of late. And I guess I should mention, too, the Heat did send Alonis Williams, and I think it was either Cole Swatter or Jamal Kane, back to the G League today. So that is a possible sign that Tyler Hero and or Kevin Love could be returning in their next game Sunday versus the Wizards. So we'll see what happens there. But back to the size issue. The Heat got killed by Dallas and those two bigs, right? And I said on that post-game video that they should not get killed on the glass versus the Thunder because the Thunder don't really have any bigs, right? They play Chet Holmgren, who's 7'4", but he likes to hang outside the paint. Only had a couple rebounds today. And then their backup big is Jalen Williams, the other Jalen Williams, and he's like 6'9", not super big. Yet the Heat got dominated in second chance points today. Now, actually, it would shock you, they only lost the rebounding battle by two, and they lost the offensive rebounding battle by two, right? So they were dead even on the defensive boards. But second chance points was a lot to a little. I don't got the exact numbers in front of me, but just saw watching the game, it was a killer. And that was something that was very frustrating with Bam is because if he's not making shots and he's not getting rebounds, then what is he doing? I don't want to discredit his defense. He'll always be elite on that side of the ball. But when he's as poor as he's been in those other two areas, it's a problem. Now, he did have 10 boards versus the Thunder, but you can't lose game-saving rebounds to Lu Dort. They get kicked back out to an Isaiah Joe 3, and that's a dagger. Just like you saw against the Mavericks, got kicked out to Kyrie, dagger. You got to get those rebounds. So could the Miami Heat compete for a championship with no size? It's tough to say, right? Because they got there last year. They got to the finals with no size, right? But did they compete? Not really. Denver kind of ran you out of the building. The way I kind of feel too, just because I don't want to give a cop-out answer of, oh, maybe they can, maybe they can't. I feel like I should give you an answer is I think the Miami Heat can beat anybody in the West in a four-game series except for the Denver Nuggets because they have nobody that could body with Nikola Jovic and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. They're just too big. Now, I understand there's a lot of size over there. The Minnesota Timberwolves, who Cat just tore his meniscus. He's may miss a month or so. They said he'll be reevaluated in a month. I think he'll be gone for much longer, but I'm not a doctor. Anyways, we know that team has size with him and Gobert, but I just think they're too young, and I also think Gobert is kind of a bum. I think the Heat could beat that team. I think the Heat could beat a young OKC team. I think they could beat a Lakers team with Anthony Davis and who else? Jackson Hayes. You know what I mean? They're playing a lot of Hachimura minutes. He's not super big. I think they could beat those teams, but not the Denver Nuggets. So can the Miami Heat still compete for a championship? Yes, but it's frustrating to see. It's very angering, actually, that the Miami Heat got killed by the Denver Nuggets last year and made no, and it's because of size, don't get it wrong, and a lot of other issues as well, but size was a main factor all series long, and it's frustrating seeing that the Heat made no moves whatsoever to address that obvious glaring hole. They went out there in the offseason and got nobody. Besides Thomas Bryant, who was on the Nuggets, but he's a minimum contract guy. I'm not counting him. Now, I'd have to sit down and think about who was really out there, but I think they could have made some moves to do something, right? It's just, how do you have such a glaring, obvious hole and do nothing to address it? I don't get it. Now, a lot of people would look to this recent Patty Mills edition and say, why didn't they address the size now? Well, my answer to that is, I think it's too late, right?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right, because we can get into Patty Mills a little bit. He was waived from the Atlanta Hawks just a few days ago, and he picked him up. This is something that I've been wanted. I called this a month ago on this very channel and on this podcast when I made a video talking about my top five buyout candidate wish list. The guy, I think I had DeLon Wright at number three, got him. I had Gallo at number two, and then the guy I had at number one was Patty Mills. And nobody was talking about him back then. He wasn't even bought out yet. So I was pretty ahead of the curve. And the reason I wanted Patty Mills, and still do, the reason I was happy when we signed him, is because he is a veteran, a great veteran leader, championship pedigree, an amazing locker room guy, won like teammate of the year a couple years ago. It's very, you know, well known how great of a locker room guy he is. And he's a low mistake, high IQ point guard, and a guy that if he had to play, he could get hot at any moment. Very, very efficient three-point shooter, something that obviously fits well with his offense, and a guy that could fit in immediately because he's a savvy vet, doesn't need a lot of time to gel. And I feel like for a last-minute buyout candidate guy, if you can get someone that checks all those boxes, has all of those skill sets, I think it's very valuable to have. You know, it's a good value, you know, right, for a last-minute buyout guy. So I was very happy about it, even when he was waived by the Hawks. I put out a tweet saying, step one, cut Drew Smith. Step two, sign Patty Mills. Sure enough, they actually did it. Now, we do want to pray for a speedy recovery of Drew Smith. He's had a bit of a rough season, obviously, towards ACL earlier on when he was getting some pretty serious, real playing time. So we do hope everything is well with him. And he's already had two stints with Miami, because if you remember, he was here last year, left, went to Brooklyn, then they brought him back. I could see him being a guy that the Heat eventually go to bring back another year, because we've seen them bring back guys like Marcus Garrett multiple times and Bronte Weber multiple times. I think Drew Smith is just sort of next in that lineage there. But I do like Patty Mills. Actually, today versus OKC, made his debut, was hooping. The man had 11 points, came out the gate, hit back-to-back threes, hit a tough mid-range jump shot. He was awesome. Now, I posted a video and podcast about this too. I'm not sure him or DeLon Wright will play much because Tyler Hero's been out and you really haven't seen any DeLon Wright or Patty Mills outside of like one game apiece, right? So obviously once you get Tyler Hero back, I'm not sure those guys will play unless it's the random game Spo decides to give him 40 minutes in the playoffs and they drop like a 30-point triple-double. You know how Spoelstra does. Even last year, Duncan Robinson wasn't playing in the regular season, then got his chance in the playoffs. You know, there was instances with Hayward Highsmith, too, got a random 30-minute night versus Celtics. There's no rhyme or reason necessarily to why Spo does the things that he does. It's just vibes sometimes, baby. You know what I mean? And Spo is the best vibes coach in the entire league. But that being said, I don't think DeLon Wright and Patty Mills will be a consistent part of the rotation. But again, the rotation is a giant topic for another day. I know I always say that, but we will get into that come closer to playoff time. But regardless, I do like Patty Mills. And when I made my reaction video to the Heat signing him, the most frequent comment that I got is, why do we need another guard? We should have got some size. And that kind of is to tie in the point that I kind of started this whole conversation with is, well, who did you want? As a last-minute buyout guy, you weren't going to sign anyone who's better than Dwayne Dedman and Cody Zeller. You would have got another one of those guys. And then it's like, well, what's even the point? I actually had several people say DeMarcus Cousins. I love Boogie. I've always been a fan of him. But he wasn't even able to get minutes on a bad Lakers team with no size last we saw him in the NBA. You know, there's a reason he's playing in Taiwan. Trust me. These coaches obviously know more than us. And if 30 teams have looked at DeMarcus Cousins, a guy who was one of the best centers in the league, maybe the best center in the league for a stretch of time, if he was still good, if he could still play, he would be on a team. Trust me. So that's why it's not like the Heat passed up on DeMarcus and someone else scooped him up. No, nobody wants him, and it's for a reason. So the problem is the Heat just made no moves in the offseason. And that's when it goes back, boils back down to, you know? So let's say the Miami Heat go on another playoff run. They're able to beat the Bucks and the Celtics and whoever else. They get to the finals. God forbid they're matched up with the Denver Nuggets, because they will get their ass killed once again for not addressing any of their issues there. A couple other things to note. Josh Richardson, we didn't mention him. He did go down with a season-ending shoulder surgery since the last full podcast we talked about. So we hope everything is very good with him. But in my whole video, I had dedicated to that. Of course, it sucks because we love Jay Rich as a person. And he was really starting to play pretty decent since the week or so before he got hurt. But just from a basketball standpoint, I think DeLon Wright can bring a lot of similar things defensively. And then obviously, we just talked a ton about Patty Mills. He's a pretty decent player. So I don't think the Heat will, you know, miss his presence on the court too much. Because again, I'm not sure if Jay Rich would have played a ton anyways, right? Because let's say Spo's going to go 8 deep in the playoffs, right? It's hard for me to narrow it down to 8. So if you wanted to say 9, you got the starting lineup we've been seeing. We'll sub in Tyler for Duncan. So you got Terry, Tyler, Jimmy, Jovic, Bam. And off the bench, you got Duncan Robinson, Jame Hawkins, Kevin Love, and Caleb Martin. That's your 9 right there. And it's really going to be closer to 8. So who gets cut out of that? I don't know. But then outside of those 9, you still got Hayward Highsmith, who we know Spo loves. You still got DeLon Wright, and you still got Patty Mills. So, and then the two bigs with Jovic and Thomas Bryant and Orlando Robinson. It's tough to say if any of those guys will get any minutes. So I'm not even sure if Josh Richardson would have if he was here. But that is pretty much what I think the biggest issue with the Miami Heat is the size. A lot of people were wondering why the Heat haven't been able to develop size, like if there's anything to that, because it seems like they develop all these great wings like Caleb Martin or Max Strus, or they're able to develop these guards like Gabe Vincent and whoever else. But and they're like, they haven't developed the big since Hassan Whiteside, I don't know if there's anything to that, though. People are making it seem like the Heat just don't know how to develop big men. I don't think that's the case. I think maybe the bigger issue is there's just not a lot of size in this league anymore, right? Most teams nowadays are kind of playing small ball, you know? That's why a team like the Denver Nuggets scares me, because they're one of the few big teams. That's why a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers terrifies me, because they're one of the few teams with a ton of size. You know, look what the Boston Celtics did. They were pretty decent on the boards last year. They saw Miami had a weakness with size. They went out there and they got Kristaps Porzingis. That's the guy that I really wanted in the offseason as well, because he has size. If the Miami Heat were getting killed on the glass by Boston last year, imagine what's going to happen this year when Boston rolls out that lineup with Tatum and Horford and Porzingis. It's not going to be pretty. So obviously pretty disappointing aspect there, but we could get more into the starting lineup again with Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero, but that topic's been so played out. I do hope that Tyler Hero is able to play in the next game versus the Washington Wizards. But more importantly, I hope the Heat are able to win, because Y'all thought I was mad after this loss to the Thunder? Ooh, boy, you don't want to see me if this team loses to the Washington Wizards. It is not going to be pretty. Anyways, that's really all I got to say. I kind of just wanted to come here and share my thoughts with y'all. Just kind of talk off the top of the dome. I like doing that on these podcasts because there's a lot to think about after these Heat games like this. It's very frustrating because they show in games how well they can play just for it to all kind of fall to crap by the end of the game. And I really don't understand why, because it's a team with the best coach in the league that has a star player in Jimmy Butler, that has a ton of chemistry because the core has been together for 5 years now. It's very, very confusing. But shout out to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for tonight specifically, because that boy, 37 points, that's one of the most impressed I've been watching a player in a very long time. He is, you know, MVP candidate for a reason. But that's really all I gotta say for this video and this podcast. So if you're on the podcast side, leave 5 stars. And if you're on the YouTube side, make sure to comment and subscribe, because it does help me out a lot. That being said, I'll see y'all after the Washington Wizards game. Hope y'all have a great weekend. Peace out.
Look, pull up in the city trying to get that dead fast. Do it on my own, I don't need no dead weight. Had to kill him off, yeah, I need a head space. You know this homegrown bitch don't offend me.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.